The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
Hello, this is Stephen Hines, author of Zombie Fabulous, Rebirth Defect, and Valedictorian USA. And you, my friends, are getting your skulls crushed by the pile driver of John Orlando with his PBD cast in your face.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD cast. I am your host, Mr. PVD MVP himself, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 165. And boy, oh boy, am I happy. No, I am damn happy to bring this episode to you. I'm going to chronicle my trip to Wrestle Legends, the big fan fest that just happened August 18th here in Columbus, Ohio, actually Hilliard, Ohio. And man, was it an amazing event. I got an opportunity to sit down with five wrestling legends. They chatted with me for a few minutes, talked about their career, talked about the convention itself, and I have all of those interviews ready to go on this episode of the PVD cast. And I'll reveal what legends sat down and chatted with me here in a moment, but I want to talk about the event itself. Matt Sweeney did a great job, man. The crowd was really good for this event, for the inaugural event. Basically, he had staged it so that about half of the legends would be the morning shift, so to speak, from 10 to, I think, 1 or 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and then they would leave, and then there would be an afternoon crew. So it was a smart way to set it up that way. The crowd, man, was just out of this world, man. They were really packed into it. And you know who was going to be there, but I'm going to run down the names one more time. Mouth of the South, Jimmy Hart was the MC. You had Sergeant Slaughter, Road Warrior Animal, Cowboy Bob Orton Jr., Greg the Hammer Valentine, Tito Santana, Brutus the Barber Beefcake, Tugboat. You had Bushwhacker Luke, One Man Gang was there. I'm trying to think who else. Tony Atlas showed up. That's right. Tony Atlas made a surprise appearance. And I can't forget Tatanka, and of course, Coco Beware, the Birdman, was also in attendance at Wrestle Legends. And so I'm going to be talking to just five of the legends: Cowboy Bob Orton Jr., Tito Santana, the One Man Gang, Tatanka, and Road Warrior Animal. And I know you might be thinking, well, John, there were 13 wrestling legends there. Why only five? Well, I approached every single legend. They're asking if they would like to just talk for a very short amount of time about their career on the PBD cast. And I'll be honest, some of them said no thank you. A couple of them were under contractual obligations in which they cannot appear on podcasts. There were a few that said we would love to if we have time, but there was a little bit of travel issues going on where they had to leave right away, get to the airport and whatnot. And you know what? That's fine. Everybody was so nice and so polite, and I totally understand. Everybody's schedule was incredibly hectic that weekend, I'm sure. And so I was just blessed and very happy to have these five folks come on and talk to me. Honestly, I'm going to be 100% truthful here. I'm a huge Road Warrior mark, and so to have Road Warrior Animal just a mere few inches away from me talking to me about his career, man, 8-year-old John is just incredibly happy. Like, still to this day, smiling. That's right. 8-year-old John is still smiling that I had an opportunity to talk to Road Warrior Animal. But I need to mention that when I got an opportunity to sit down and talk to the One Man Gang, he decided to take it to a whole nother level. So, which at first I was a little bit shocked by, but then I just rolled with the punches. The One Man Gang decided to kind of cut a little bit of a promo on yours truly. He did it in a very, very funny manner, a very funny way, and I enjoyed it. And a crowd just kind of gathered around as he was just laying it on me. And you know what? When we were done and I had wrapped recording, he gave me a wink. I thanked him. He said thanks for having him on, and then he parted ways. So I got to be honest with you, I wasn't really super offended, but it did take me out of my game plan for a little bit there. But I think I jumped right back on and jumped right back on track and just kept rolling with the punches, so to speak. So lace up your boots, put on your trunks, and get ready for some great wrestling stories. But before I get into that, I'd like to mention about two independent wrestling shows that are happening here this weekend. Saturday, August 25th, Ohio Championship Wrestling. OCW's back at it. They have a big show. I believe it's entitled Wanted, Dead or Alive. It is at the OCW Arena on Main Street in Akron, Ohio. 7 o'clock is when things kick off. If you need any information, just go to Facebook and go to the Facebook page for Ohio Championship Wrestling, or check out ocwrestling.net. And then Sunday, August 26th, Old Wrestling's back at it for their annual extravaganza. It's going to be up there in the Huron County Fairgrounds in Norwalk, Ohio. 3 o'clock is the bell time. It's an afternoon show. I'm going to be there. I'm looking forward to it. I love old wrestling. And if you need any information or tickets or anything, just go over to oldwrestling.com. That's oldwrestling.com. And before I throw it to a break, and then we hear these fabulous interviews that I have with some of wrestling's biggest names, let me tell you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. That was a nice segue, wasn't it? Anyways, you can get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/PVDcast. There are over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, MP3 player, tablet, whatever you use to listen to the great books. They got the format for you. For you, the listeners of the PVDcast, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 30-day trial to give you the opportunity to check out their service. As we've talked many, many times on the PVDcast, Audible has a book for literally any topic out there. So to download your free audiobook today, go to audibletrial.com/PVDcast. Once again, that's audibletrial.com/PVDcast to get your hands on a free audiobook. With that, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to a quick break, and on the other side of the break, it's all my interviews with some of the stars of Wrestle Legends. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down with Cowboy Bob Orton Jr. Sir, how are you today?
I'm doing good, thank you.
You're doing good? How's the show been treating you?
Great, great. It's really rocking there for a while.
So, if I may ask real quickly, starting things off, your father was a very accomplished wrestler.
Yeah.
Your brother was an accomplished wrestler.
Yeah.
So, what was life like growing up in the Orton household? With you, your brother, and your dad all, you know, kind of being very, very macho men, so to speak, I'm sure, and kind of, was there a lot of conflict, a lot of goofing around?
No, not at all. Dad was always on the road when we were growing up, and Barry was 8 years younger than I am, so by the time I left the house, Barry was only like 12 or 13.
Okay.
So, no conflict at all. We
pretty typical.
We were lucky to get to see each other.
Yeah, pretty typical upbringing.
Yeah, yeah. If you can count your dad being gone all the time, typical.
Yeah, right, exactly. when you broke in, you spent a lot of time in the Mid-Atlantic area.
Well, I started in Florida.
You started in Florida, then moved
up. Then I went to Georgia for a little while, then I went back to Florida for, I got 3 years. And then I think I went to Dallas and then back to Georgia for 2 or 3 years.
Did you enjoy life?
Then I got to Charlotte.
Did you enjoy life on the road?
Well, you're away from your family,
right,
and my wife and everything, but at that time, that's what you had to do to make a living, so.
Gotcha.
So yeah, you know, had to enjoy it or be miserable.
In Mid-Atlantic, you formed a pretty devastating tag team with Dick Slater.
Right.
Do you have any interesting or cool stories to tell about Dick Slater?
Oh, Dickie was a great guy. I just being on the road with him, and he had a little Porsche, and he drove that car, buddy. You scared me half to death, especially in the Carolinas going through them mountains. Good Lord. That Porsche held the road. I got to say that for it.
Okay. Wow, that's a great story. Thank you for that. Do you have any unique memories or special memories of WrestleMania 1? Because you played a very integral role in that main event.
No, we were just glad, that it did as well as it did. Being out there with Muhammad Ali and Liberace and Mr. T was a little different. Of course, Hogan and Roddy and Paul, couldn't have been a better mix of guys.
And I'm sure coming from the territories, being around those other stars like Liberace and Muhammad Ali, and that was probably a little bit of a different take for you.
Yeah, it was different, but very enjoyable, very nice guy. All of them are very nice guys.
You also had a pretty awesome tag team with Magnificent Morocco, Don Morocco. Who's tougher, Dick Slater or Don Morocco? I'll put you on the spot.
Not in case I run into them. They're both about the same.
Well done, sir.
Yeah, there you go. Got to be a politician nowadays.
Then you also spent some time towards the tail end of your career in a couple of other unique promotions, Herb Abrams UWF.
Right.
And then also the AWF, which Tito Santana and Sergeant Slaughter were also involved with.
Right.
What did you think of those two companies? Because they were kind of on the, you might as well say they're starting just from the get-go. Like, what was your thoughts on those two companies, if I may ask?
Well, my thoughts were plain and simple. They tried to spread out way too fast. They had the talent, but they spread everything too thin. You can't go nationwide until you establish someplace, that you can base out of. And neither one of them felt like that was what they wanted to do. Herb Abrams up in the Northeast, we were doing real well, but then all of a sudden he's going all the way across the country. And it costs a lot of money to fly everybody over there and stuff like that.
Sure.
But had he stayed in the Northeast, who knows what would have happened. And then Paul should have stayed around the Chicago area. We do real well around Chicago, but there's another guy that tried to go nationwide way before it was time to go nationwide. So.
And correct me if I'm wrong, did you not wrestle as a face in UWF for Herb Abrams? Or were you always a heel?
I was always a heel.
Okay, all right. I thought for a moment that there was a time where he had you booked as a face, and I was going to ask you if you enjoyed working as a face or as a heel more.
Oh, a heel. Big
heel?
Yeah.
Well, you're one of the best heels that there ever has been, sir. I will tell you that.
Well,
give
thank
you props.
You. Appreciate it.
And with that, dear, I'm just going to close with one quick question about your son.
Yeah.
What advice did you give him when he got into the business?
Keep his mouth shut and his ears open.
I think that's advice any wrestler could use.
Yeah.
Well, Cowboy Bob Orton, thank you very much. I don't want to take all your time. And do you have anything else
to
say?
More proud of Randy.
Okay.
Yeah. No, I'm done.
Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt you, sir.
You got it.
All right. Well, thank you very much for coming on over. I appreciate it.
My pleasure.
Thank you. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down here with Tito Santana. Sir, how are you today?
I'm doing very good. We had a great crowd, so it really makes me happy.
Yeah, do you enjoy being at conventions where fans can come up and interact with you?
Yes, I do, because, they bring back a lot of memories. They always remind you of different stories that, they remember better than I do. So, it's great talking and sharing stories with the fans.
Yeah, that's excellent. Let's go back a little bit and talk a little bit about your early days in professional wrestling, because you were at West Texas State, correct, to play football?
Yes, I was.
And then you kind of fell into the wrestling game, so to speak.
Yes, I did. I was lucky enough to be playing. Tully Blanchard was the quarterback, and his father was a promoter in San Antonio, and I was not a wrestling fan. I had no desire to be a wrestler, and before you know it, I played professional football for a couple of years, and I end up being a professional wrestler, which turned out to be the best thing I ever did.
Yeah, excellent. Hi, Haley, how are you?
Who's this pretty girl?
This is Haley. So What do you think is probably the best match you've ever had? Can you even quantify that with as many matches as you've had?
It's very difficult. You know, I had some great matches with Mr. Wonderful Paul Orndorff.
Uh-huh.
I mean, we used to really click. But, you know, the longest feud in the history of the WWF was with Greg the Hammer Valentine.
Correct. A very historic feud, yeah.
And we had, I mean, the people, you know, really believed our matches because we used to go out there and, you know, we had a dogfight, you know, pretty much every night. You know, I used to come home and tell my wife, I've had easier street fights than you know, wrestling with Greg the Hammer, you know, and we'd come back and, you know, we drew a lot of money all over the WWF. You know, we sold out arenas without Hulk Hogan being in the card.
Yeah, okay. Because were you at that time running two separate squads, so to speak? Two different B team and an A team, so to speak?
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Yeah. If I may ask real quick, whose idea was it to put you with Rick Martel as Strikeforce?
Well,
did you have any input, or was that just handed down from front office?
Rick Martel had teamed up with Tom Zink.
Correct.
And they were called, I forgot what...
Can-Am Connection.
The Can-Am Connection, and all of a sudden, Tom Zink just, you know, packed his bags and left in the middle of the night, and they asked me if I wouldn't mind being teamed up with Rick Martel, you know, before we even had the name Strikeforce. Vince McMahon, they were going to call us Border Patrol.
Border Patrol, wow, okay.
And I said, that could turn his heel, you know, because I don't know if you remember immigrants crossing the border in Mexico were dying in railroad cars of heat exhaustion. So I said, Vince, that might not be a good idea because, you know, there's a lot of Mexicans that are dying in the railroad cars. And he says, you got a point. And then he came up with the Strikeforce, which turned out to be a great name.
Yeah, it was. And you had some familiarity with Rick Martel because both of you competed in the AWA for a while, correct? In the early 80s?
Yeah, we had teamed up in the AWA.
Really?
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. So you had previous actual working relationship with him as tag teaming. Okay.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
Yeah. You know, we were very successful in the AWA also.
Yeah. Okay. You also, and this is just because I'm a wrestling nerd, I have to ask. You were the first and last AWF champion back in, I want to say, 92, 93, 94, somewhere in that era.
The
AWF.
Yeah.
How did you get involved with that company and that promotion?
Well, ironically, me and Sergeant Slaughter were the ones that were booking.
Okay.
We were part of the company. We had gotten a percentage if we could make it go. And we had a tournament, and I won the tournament. The people who were investing the money told us that they had a lot more money than they ended up having.
Okay.
So they ran out of money, and, you know, they folded.
Was that the first time you ever booked? Or had you booked in other territories?
No,
that was it?
That was the first time, yeah.
What do you think makes a good booker?
Well, knowing the business in the first place.
Right.
You know, not everybody... You know, not everybody has a complete understanding. I mean, I learned a lot from Sergeant Slaughter. Sergeant Slaughter has a great mind for. I think he had at one point. He was doing some of the booking for Vince, but you know, something happened. But I think he could have done a good job if he would have gone with him.
Are you still teaching?
Yes, I am.
Do you enjoy it?
Yeah. Oh, I love teaching.
You do?
This year is going to be my 22nd year.
Really?
Yeah.
What grade level again? High school age?
No, middle school.
No, middle school.
Yeah.
Okay.
Spanish in the middle school.
Oh, that's a challenging group.
Yes, it is.
Well, Tito Santana, thank you for stopping by. I don't want to take up a lot of your time. Thanks for just spending a few minutes with me here on the PVD Cast to chat about your career. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. Arriba!
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down with the one-man gang. How are you doing today, sir?
I'm doing well, and, you know, nobody really wants to hear your voice. They want to hear the one-man gang doing the talking around here. Why don't you just leave the studio? I'll take over the podcast because I'm the one-man gang. I'm Akeem, and I'm about other 100 more gimmicks that people don't even remember. So what you got to say about that, punk?
Well, One, I'm flattered that I just got promoed by you. Thank you very much. But I would like to share real quick, if I may, the first time I saw you on my TV. It was World Class Wrestling.
What was you doing? You was probably eating a bowl of Fruit Loops or some chocolatey pebbles or something like that in front of your TV set in your diapers all full of poop, watching the one-man gang beat somebody up, because that's what I do the best. That's what I've been doing for 30, 40, 50 years, whatever it's been. I beat people up while you was eating fruity pebbles, pooping in your diaper.
That was pretty much accurate.
Now, go ahead. What were you going to say, punk?
I was just going to say, I remember the first time I saw you on World Class Wrestling, you were taking on Iceman King Parsons.
Well, whoop-de-doo about Iceman. Who cares about Iceman King Parsons? I whipped his butt. Do you understand that? Have you ever seen the matches I had with him? I knocked him out. We had a tape fist match in Texas Stadium. I knocked the man clear out, and I beat him right in the middle of the ring. Myself and Playboy Gary Hart, we were the meanest, toughest two people walking the face of the earth. We could do anything we wanted to. The Von Erichs trembled in their boots every time I showed up.
Even Bruiser Brody, did he tremble in his boots as well?
Bruiser Brody trembled also. I hit him so hard he started crying one night.
That is an unbelievable story.
What do you say? You calling me a liar?
No.
Is that what you're saying? I'll tear this studio apart right now. If I say the man was crying, he was crying. If you pooped in your diaper, you pooped in your diaper. Do you understand that, punk?
I understand wholeheartedly. You also just ran roughshod over everybody in UWF.
Well, you know, I don't know what roughshod means. I ain't sure about that word. Is that a good word?
That's a good word.
I was dominant. Yes, UWF. I was dominant in UWF. I was the UWF world champion.
True.
So, of course, I was dominant. I was on top of the world. I was the man at the top. Everybody wanted a shot at the world champion, and I carried the world championship, and I carried it proudly, and I carried it for a long time, and nobody took it away till I wanted to lose. I lost to the big boss man, but he was going as Big Bubba Douglas or Big Bubba whatever back in them days. Yeah, he took it off of me, but then later on he come up there and begged to be my tag team partner, Big Boss Man. Oh, please, please, Mr. Akeem, can we become tag team partner, because I want to become famous like you are. Yes, I gave him a chance. Nice guy. He was okay. Slick, I begged Slick. Slick, please let him in. You know, Slick hated the man. Please let him in, Slick. So we became a tag team, and then we ran over everybody in WWF. Yes, I said WWF, not WWE.
You even spent some time in WCW.
What about it? What do you want to know?
Well, how was your time in WCW?
Did you see me on WCW? Where was you at?
Well, that particular time, I probably was just starting college.
I don't want to hear. You think you so smart because you went to college. I didn't go to college. I'm a smart man. I may not know what roughshod means, but I'm a smart man. Yeah, I was in WCW. You know what title I had there, don't you? I was United States Heavyweight Champion. I'm in the record books, that's right. I'm one of the few elite people that carry the United States Heavyweight Championship. The same one they got up there in WWE. I carried the same title in WCW for a long time. I beat everybody. People were scared to death of me. Couldn't never get no matches, because as soon as they saw they was going against one-man gang, they was a bunch of cowards and ran the other way. Like you would, because you're a punk.
I would. That's fact. Anything you want to say to the fans?
I don't have to say anything. I'm the one-man gang. They come to me. Do you understand that?
I do. I understand that. Well, thank you for taking it.
Hey, did I tell you it was over with?
No, I'm sorry.
I'll say something. Just shut your mouth. I want to thank all the fans out there listening right now. Just get up there, wipe your mouth off, get that ketchup mustard off your mouth. I want to thank all you fans for making me who I am. Without you fans buying tickets and coming out and spitting on me and throwing junk at me and throwing tobacco on me and everything, beer on me and everything else, I would never have been anything. I thank each and every one of you, because you paid my mortgage. I love you all out there, is the one man gang talking at you. R. Akeem, I'm signing off. I'm going to give it back to this punk over here. I don't like the way he looks. He's giving me a bad look right now. I might have to slap him right in the mouth. Okay, take it back over, punk.
Well, thank you, one man gang, for joining me here. Thank you very, very much.
Sitting down with Tatanka, sir. How are you today?
Doing fantastic, man. You're doing good?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Did you have fun here at the Wrestle Legends?
Yeah, really cool. Because, well, it's cool. We get to see these same guys all the time. Because, number one, we're on a lot of us on Legends contracts. But we do a lot of these events, man. We travel a lot, man. We're on the road every single week, most of us.
Wow.
I just came from being in upstate, way up northern territories in Canada. Then I went to London, Texas. I'm here. I go back. It's New York after New York. Following week after that, Texas. Following week after that, Vegas.
Wow. So you are a busy man.
Yeah. So
you are. So
yeah, we stay pretty busy, but that's good. That's a good thing.
Yeah. You enjoy interacting with the fans?
Yeah, you have to. I mean, if you, you're gonna have a short career if you don't. Let's put it that way.
Exactly. Well, let's talk a little bit about your career. You started off in bodybuilding, correct?
Yes, correct.
And then you transitioned over into pro wrestling after a quick encounter with Nature Boy Buddy Rogers, right?
You got it, correct. Okay. Definitely a big athlete. You know, played football. Remember the Titans, high school, Hampton, okay. Virginia. Big football in that area. Went on a college scholarship. Tried out for the Dolphins. Made the cuts. Could have played for them, but that's when a wrestling scout met me.
Okay.
And that's how we got involved in the wrestling. I started, you know, I wasn't an avid fan that I was watching it every Saturday morning, but I started watching and I started going, wait a minute, this is a bunch of athletes.
Mm-hmm.
And I started seeing sold out Coliseum. I started seeing t-shirts, foam tomahawks, I mean foam 2x4s. Yeah, that was before I got there. You know what I'm already thinking? Yeah, tomahawk, yeah. So I started seeing all these guys and going, wait a minute, these guys are making some money.
Yeah.
You know, so then before making a decision what I wanted to do, I decided to go with wrestling because with football, pro football, even though I could sign with the NFL, you get hurt, you're done for.
Right.
Wrestling, they work through an injury. They allow you to get healed up because not everyone is a professional wrestler. It takes a special breed to be what we are.
It does. Yes. You started off in SAPW, South Atlantic. It was also North American, I think, too.
Yeah, North American Wrestling Association at first.
Right.
Then with South Atlantic Pro.
Right. George Scott's promotion.
You got it correct?
Yes. And one of the people that I have heard took you under his wing was Chief Wahoo McDaniel.
Accurate? Oh, yeah.
What'd you learn from Wahoo?
Probably the biggest thing I learned from Wahoo was in the first time being in the ring with him, right after getting started, we were talking about what natives do in the ring, and we're talking about about being physical. He's a tough guy. I'm coming from football, tough guy, just like him. You know, we're the kind of guys who really fight you.
Okay.
So he was showing me about the reverse knife edge chop, which is big in this industry. But he's talking about, this is a big thing with the natives. You know, this has been a native move for many, many, many years, even before me. He said, when you give guys a chop, you got to lay it in. So I gave a kid a chop, and it was intense, because I chop hard.
Okay.
But Wahoo was like, no, let me show you how. Shot the kid off the rope, chopped the guy. I thought the guy was dead. Bam! He took, boom! I was like, oh, my God. Wahoo said, always lay it in. So for all of you out there that's listening and had to take a chop from Tatanka, I'm sorry. It's because of Wahoo McDaniels. And that's the truth. And that's the bottom line, because Tatanka said so.
You also had to work with Ken Shamrock in SAPW, too.
Yeah, another tough guy.
Yeah.
World's toughest man, you know, at that time. And just a great athlete. He's coming out of MMA. I'm coming out of football. So the only thing we knew how to do was hit each other hard. I mean, literally, that's what we did.
Yeah.
We wrestled very hard, very physical. It was great. Kim, I had some great time with Ken Shamrock. Vince Torelli was his work name at that time. Just a great guy.
Yeah.
But a tough guy, too. Shooter, fighter.
Yeah, and you didn't have an easy path there. There was that first stop in SAPW.
No, I mean, I've got broken in really good right from the get-go. I was with tough guys. I was Matt Bourne.
Yes.
That liked to fight back in that time. Vince Torelli, you know. God, I mean, who else was there at that time? They were just tough guys. I mean, Wahoo was tough, but I never had to wrestle against him. But we just had great talent that was there at that time, you know, and great superstars to help train us.
Yeah.
Another guy that was very instrumental with me was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Fantastic. Because I lived in Charlotte at the time.
Okay.
When I started the business.
Okay.
So he took me underneath his wing, too.
What did he teach you that was different from what Wahoo taught you? Obviously, Wahoo was the physicalness.
Very physical, you know, but if you remember, the Dragon was just a great, great baby face.
Yes.
Could tell a great story, great facial expressions, connected with the fans. That's the kind of stuff that he taught. Just a great baby face. Fantastic.
And then soon you got the call up to the WWF at the time?
Yes, correct.
Who came up with the idea for the name Tatanka?
Actually, Vince McMahon allowed me to have my own name.
Really?
He said, listen, you're truly Native American. I don't want to disrespect your heritage at all. He said, won't you come back with some Native names for your character to me? So I did a lot of research. A lot of Native names are 3 or 4 or 5 words,
mm-hmm.
like dances with wolves, stands with a fist, if you remember the movie. So when I came across the word Tatanka, I was like, wow, that's great, because they can share it, Tatanka, you got to think about that with wrestling. But also the meaning, it's a Lakota name, Sioux name, that meant buffalo. So Vince loved that, because when I told him what it meant, he says, that's great, you're going to run over all your opponents. And that's exactly what happened. I went 2 years undefeated.
What was your opinion on the heel turn when you joined the Million Dollar Corporation?
Fantastic, because it's the thing that everybody talks about still today.
Really?
Most people think, oh, that was bad. You were a baby face. We loved you. You shouldn't have turned. You should have stayed. So they think it's bad. But it's not bad, because you got to have two guys in the ring working. It's not one guy working. It's two guys working. And the good guy is only going to be as good as bad as that bad guy is, or as good as he is. So when I made that turn, the storyline was done so right that when I made that turn, it made Lex go higher, and it just turned people totally against me. And that's the perfect turn. That's usually they wrote it as one of the best heel turns, because no one expected it. Everyone thought it was going to be Lex. The story was told perfectly. Everyone thought it was going to be Lex. We did totally opposite. No one's ever came up to me and said, I knew it was going to be you. No one ever came. They always thought it was going to be Lex. Guess what? That's why it hits them so big, because we shocked them. We surprised them. And guess what? That's what you want. That's what you want when you're being entertained.
Yeah.
You don't want to know what's going to happen. What? That's what you want.
So closing out here. Is there anything that you want to tell the fans out there?
Well, thanks for all your support. We appreciate each and every one of you. Anyone who knows me, they know that I'm very, very personable with fans. I speak to fans through all my social media. I post stuff that people make of me. I post stuff that people send to me. So I'm one of the guys that are very, very appreciative. All of us are appreciative of our fans, but I'm especially appreciative, you know, of all the fans, because I'm one of the guys that understand, without the fans, what do you have?
You got it.
So the fan base is very, very important. So we appreciate you, WWE Universe. Tatanka's still going strong. Tatanka's still around. Of course, I'm on contract with WWE, so you never know where I could show up.
Ooh, all right. Is there any social media things? You mentioned social media.
Twitter is Native Tatanka. Instagram is Native Tatanka. My website is nativetatanka.com. My Facebook page is Native Tatanka. So just remember the Native Tatanka, and you're going to find me.
That's so easy.
So easy.
So
right?
easy. Well, thanks for talking with me.
It's a pleasure.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down with one of my heroes in the world of professional wrestling, Road Warrior Animal. It's an honor and a privilege to have you on my podcast. How's things going here at Wrestle Legends?
Yeah, it's always great, man. It's always great to be back in the great state of Ohio. In Hilliard, Ohio, the matter of fact, you know, I spent not only my first years of wrestling, you know, wrestling with the NWA, Georgia Championship Wrestling, going 1 week in Ohio and 1 week, you know, Ohio Valley, 1 week in Georgia. But, you know, my son James playing football at Ohio State for 4 years, man, I pretty much lived here for 4 years in Columbus.
Is James still active in the NFL?
No, he just retired after 8 years retired, and now he's an announcer in the Big Ten Network. It's the Big Ten Wrap-Up at the end of every week.
Okay.
And he's got his own radio show on ESPN that plays 5 days a week here in Columbus. And he actually runs the Fox NFL Twitter account.
Really?
Yeah, so he's busy, man. He's still involved with a lot of football.
Wow, man, wow. So I am going to ask if I could get your opinion on a situation that you and Hawk were involved in. I know that I've read and heard stories about the AWA Tag Team title situation.
Sure.
You were supposed to drop the belts to the Fabulous Swans.
Sure.
Did not. But then did drop them to Jimmy Garvin and Steve Regal. Why that team?
Well,
were you clued in on that, or was it just business?
That actually was our decision.
Okay.
Garvin and Regal, we wrestled around the horn all over the country, man, from Salt Lake City down to Ohio here and everything else. They bumped around for us like crazy. So when it came time to say, hey, we want you to drop the belts to the Fabs, not that we would have never dropped the belts to the Fabs, it's that the finish wasn't right for us.
Correct.
Yeah, they want to do the old switcheroo finish where the good, beat up guy gets knocked out and referee's taking his bag, the good guy pulls him out and takes his place, right? I said, listen, Hawk and I are street fighters, man. It doesn't make sense. So Paul Ellering told us, he goes, that's not a good finish for you guys. So we get in the ring, got a picture of this. We get in the ring, all of a sudden Hawk's looking at Stan Lane
Kern.
Steve Kern, yeah, and goes, hey, listen to us and no one gets hurt. He meant to say, listen to us and nobody gets hurt, like neither team. But it came across the wrong way, and Stan Lane's eyes got about as big as saucers. He was like going, holy crap, and so Ellery told him, he goes, you slam Kern about five times, he'll get pissed off and it'll be a DQ. Well, you know what, Hawk grabbed Kern, slammed him like five times. Kern said, screw this, went outside, got a chair and started beating us up, and we got DQ'd. So then in Denver, we dropped him to Regal and Garvin.
With some help from Michael P.S. Hayes.
Help from the Freebirds, but still, it was our decision. We did it the way we wanted to do it, and Garvin and Regal, God bless them. I think they had more freaking flyer miles in the air than any other team in the AWA at the time. So,
if I may, can I ask, who were some of the toughest teams Hawk and you faced?
Well, I think Hawk and I are toughest opponents when we face each other in a mirror. No, but we wrestled some great teams, man. Hanson and Brody, Hanson and Harley Race, Jumbo Tsuruta and Ricky Choshu, Giant Baba and Jumbo. I mean, we wrestled a lot of great Japanese teams, Yatsu and Ricky Choshu, and the Natural Disasters were another great team that Jimmy Hart coached, and the Nasty Boys were also a good team. We had it was hard. We had main events for 22 years, so hard to pick one team that was the hardest,
Gotcha. I'll wait till Mr. Hart's done here.
Damn, Jimmy Garvin's always trying to steal the show.
Were there any teams that you wanted to face and you guys didn't? Because I was thinking today, there's you wrestled a who's who of everybody.
Yeah. Today, there's not even any teams I'd want to wrestle today in today's business.
Okay.
I mean, maybe the Usos, maybe New Day, maybe, But back then, I probably would have liked to face Von Erichs. We never got to wrestle the Von Erichs, probably the only other great tag team we never got to wrestle because they were great boys that could wrestle really well. Other than that, I wrestled everybody from Magnum TA and Hacksaw Jim Duggan to,
the Powers of Pain.
Everybody, Demolition. I would have liked to have had a better, longer program with Demolition. We thought we were going to be married to Demolition for 2 years, and Demolition match was over in 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, first match, done in 7 minutes. But we had great matches with us at a Hart Foundation against all four Demolition and stuff, so it was pretty good.
So I'm going to ask a quick question that kind of relates to Kurt Hennig. I had read the story about a Christmas party that you threw, and at the time, I believe it was James, was being potty trained, and as a rib, Hennig took a deuce.
Oh, he took a dump in my toilet. Oh, no, in the baby chair. In the baby chair.
So how long before they told you, hey, that's Kurt? Did he let it go for a while, did you know later that night?
I figured later on, probably that night, that it was Hennig. He's the only one that would do it. Let me tell you another story about Hennig. Hennig and I would play golf probably three or four times a week. Henning was the biggest cheater in golf. He lived that Mr. Perfect gimmick to the T. He always would say, "Hey, I lost my ball." And next thing you know, he'd kick one out of a sock and it'd be right there on the green.
Oh, man.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Henning was a cheater.
Last question. If one of your kids came and said, "Want to be in the wrestling business," would you be cool with that, given your experience?
Well, I think my kids are past their prime in wrestling.
Okay.
James could, but he doesn't need it.
Okay.
My son Joe's Joe's an Army recruiter, so he doesn't need it.
Yeah. Maybe if they, when they were in their prime, if they were 21, 22, they came and said,
you know, if they wanted to, I would just tell them, A, I would direct them to the right camp to go to, for one. And B, I would say, hey, listen, man, study your craft, know your history of your profession. That's the biggest thing I find out that guys today don't know. If you don't know the guys that paved the way for you, your history, you're toast. And that's about the best advice I can give them. But I wouldn't care. Whatever they wanted to do, man, I support my kids no matter what they do.
Okay. With that, again, thank you. It's been an honor. And it's been a privilege. Thank you very, very much, sir.
What a rush.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversations with Tito Santana, Cowboy Bob Orton Jr., the One Man Gang, Tatanka, and Road Warrior Animal, all from this past weekend's Wrestle Legends event. I just got to be honest, I think this is my favorite episode of the PVD cast. And sometimes I get that question, John, what is your favorite episode, or what are a couple of your favorite episodes? And that always, really, honestly, is a hard question to answer, because I have some favorites, some that I think turned out really, really well, some that I was very excited to just talk to that individual, but I think, hands down, this is my favorite. And who knows, maybe next year, when Wrestle Legends rolls around again, because Matt wants to do it, you know, next year, the following year, 10 years from now, I know that's his goal, maybe next year, maybe I'll have more interviews, and maybe that'll be my favorite episode. Who knows? Who knows? But, all right, I'm rambling a little bit. Let's wrap this bad boy up. I want to let you know where you can get in touch with me. You can find me on Twitter at PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email if you like, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. You can even leave me a message on the Facebook page of the PVDcast. That, of course, being facebook.com/PVDcast. And as you all well know, there are lots of places where this podcast is available. You can go over to pvdcast.com, the online home of yours truly, to get it. Or it's also available through iTunes, Stitcher Radio, Google Play, Spotify, SoundCloud, Libsyn Podcast Player, Pod Paradise, the Echo Network. Heck, I probably am forgetting one, but it's all over the place. Just wherever you get podcasts from, just search for the PVDcast. Sometimes you have to put in the PVDcast John Orlando. But nonetheless, thank you for listening. I appreciate it. Tell a friend, rate, review, subscribe. Thank you very, very much for checking out this episode. I'm going to get on out of here because, as you can tell, I'm rambling a bunch. But but it's a good thing that I'm rambling, because I'm so excited that I got to talk to Road Warrior Animal. Sorry, that was a little bit of 8-year-old John coming out. All right, I'm going to get on out of here. Thank you for listening. I will chat in each and every one of you later. And until then, stay righteous, stay independent.